In a recent survey, three-quarters of Americans said they hoped to eventually die in peace in their own homes, that this was their idea of a good death. In actuality, that only happens for a quarter of us.
A fifth of people now die in intensive care, and an intensive care death is pretty much a horrible death. It leaves the surviving family members traumatized, anxious, depressed, and it's so painful for the person themselves that many of the doctors who work in those units literally describe it as torture, medically sanctioned torture.
Mill Valley Health reporter Katie Butler has been on that beat for 25 years, but it was her firsthand experience in dealing with the decline and passing of her own parents that vividly revealed to her the dark side of the American way of death in the 21st century.
It's a two-pronged problem. On the one hand, as a culture, we're terrified of death and we have an unreasonable faith in medical technology being able to postpone our deaths forever. And on the other hand, we have a medical system where some doctors, not all, are so intent on prolonging life that they don't check in with families and find out if prolonging life is really what people want. So they end up prolonging the death process, not the life.
Failing to make one's desires and preferences explicitly clear early on can be a painful misstep onto what Butler calls the pathway to a bad death. To avoid that, writing and sharing a detailed medical care directive is essential, Butler adds, but it is equally important to ensure that your loved ones will carry out your wishes.
Medical care directives are a terribly important first step. They help you clarify what you want and don't want, but they're only the beginning. What really matters is meaningful conversations with everybody in your family. If you're writing your own living will, communicate with your children and give them your blessing, reassure them, let them know that you feel ready to die and prepared to die. You make peace with them if you need to, or reconcile difficult relationships, because only then will those family members feel comfortable letting you go.
After living through her father's difficult and unnecessarily painful end, then enduring her mother's subsequent less traumatic passing, Butler wrote Knocking on Heaven's Door, The Path to a Better Way of Death, a book that is both personal memoir and journalistic indictment. Less publicly, she says, she also drew on what she'd been through in revising her own medical directive.
I don't want to put the burden of fighting my doctors on my intimate partner when he will be in the middle of grieving and anticipating my death. So instead, I've put a very, very hard-headed female friend of mine in charge. She's not highly emotional. She won't have any trouble being assertive and expressing my wishes. I've also written a long handwritten document that says very specifically that if I have any level of dementia, I do not want anything done to artificially or medically prolong my suffering and my life.
Instead of medical interventions to prolong life in any way possible, Butler advocates a standard of comfort care for those in their final decline. She is also a strong proponent of hospice, a valuable resource for both patient and family that too often, she says, is turned to too late. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.